Hello, everyone. Welcome to the James Inc. podcast. I'm Ayan Watson.
And I'm Elisa Bell.
All righty. So today's guest is Carla Grog, and she is a phenomenal business owner and a mother who parented in adolescence despite all the challenges. So join us today to dive into her story on changing the narrative in our own lives. So, Ms. Carla, we really appreciate your time and willingness to be here this morning. If you'd please give us a background about you, where you're from, and to start, what was your upbringing like?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
Of course.
This is really exciting. It's actually my first podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So a little bit about me. I was actually born in England. My dad was Air Force, so I'm a military baby. Met my mom while he was on rotation in England and had me. We have moved around quite a bit being military, but where I would call home, or where I was mostly raised and graduated high school was Texas.
Okay.
And, then shortly after we moved up to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So here I am today. What do you want me to get into? I don't know if you wanted me to get into too much more than that or.
I would like to know, you know, what was your upbringing like? You did say you moved around quite a bit. You know, how did that affect you?
Sure.
Do you have any siblings?
Yep. Being military, it's me and my sister, just small family. Being military, we were just working middle class, and my mom and dad, besides his military, he does not have any higher education. I was the first to go to college in my family. My mom, being English and then moving states and move after move, she was a stay-at-home mom and has worked numerous jobs over her career, but they've done all right for themselves. For me, I was not necessarily pushed to go to college, but encouraged. And I just started out at a community college. And so I started there taking a couple classes, working full time, you know, kind of supporting myself basically. And then a couple of friends that I met at community college encouraged me to go to Oklahoma State. So okay. I got into it very, I guess you could say blindly. My parents didn't know much about university. Obviously, we know it's important, but we didn't know anything about the cost, how hard it was going to be, all that good stuff. And so I would say through just sheer will and wanting to go to the university, I applied, I was accepted, and made the move. And so hard semesters. I wasn't prepared for it, for sure. I don't know if anybody truly is, but for me, especially, I coming from parents that hadn't gone to university, I was sort of just winging it, honestly.
Kind of like the guinea pig.
Yes, yes. Yeah. C's make degrees. And that was my motto. And so, like, I did not have higher standards back then. And now for my own kids, I'm like, oh, no, GPA and testing skills and all the study skills and all that. It's, you know, such an eye-opening experience.
Right. So how old were you during that time when you were discovering university life?
When I transferred to university, I was already a little bit older of a college student because I had attended junior college. So I think I was about, well, I was only 17 when I graduated high school. So I think I transferred in when I was about 19 and stayed there till I was 23.
So our question is that you explained to us your journey before pre-pregnancy and, you know, post-pregnancy. How was that experience? And also, what were the red flags that you might have ignored during that time?
Sure. Well,
I mean, I myself was not, I was not on birth control or anything. So that's a precaution I definitely could have taken for my own self.
Excuse me, were you aware that you could have, even in light of your mother or your parents not having that discussion with you, were you aware that was an option for you?
That's such a good question. I of course was aware. I think we're all aware of birth control. It was maybe since my parents and my mom did not really talk about it, I was my own initiative to go get on it or whatever. If I was going to be sexually active and I felt I put it in the hands of the boy to use a condom or something like that. And we did do that. And that fails obviously sometimes.
You did try to prevent the pregnancy.
Yes. We were precautious using just condoms and things like that. But and also, you know, drinking comes into play. It was one night after a party, you know, so, you know, our memories are like, did we or did we not? And, you know, things don't get done right.
Sounds like one of those movies, you know, you literally wake up not knowing what happened.
Yeah.
But thank you for your vulnerability in sharing that.
Sure. I mean, but that's the truth of so many thousands of college kids, right? So, and it's kind of interesting because I've actually never spoken about that with, you know, I say that I had them at 21, but I've never talked about that, you know, how did that happen? Don't leave that into someone else's hands to say, oh yeah, I've got, you know, safety or whatever. You have to take your own initiative for sure. Don't be afraid to go ask for help or whatever.
You know, I so agree with you. My own story was very different. Yes, I was aware of birth control. I was very, very, very young, though. I was aware of it. I couldn't even drive myself to the doctor to do a pregnancy test. So, you know, my story was really crazy. Being aware and taking that action for me was more about fear.
And access,
honestly. I think today young people have a better opportunity to take care of themselves in that way. And the information is there and the opportunity is there. And we talk about teen friendly clinics and things of that nature. When I went, there would never not have been an opportunity for me to walk into a clinic without a parent.
Yeah,
and to take care of myself,
right?
absolutely, yeah. The walk of shame. So, as Ayan said, thank you for your vulnerability in sharing that story, because so many of us so many of us fail to take care of ourselves in that way. And when I say us, I mean us as women. I'm just so happy that things are a little bit different.
Yes. It is more talked about. Even my 16-year-old, you know, she's open, and so is my 23-year-old, my firstborn. And sometimes they tell me too much information, right? Like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But I'd rather know than not, you know.
Absolutely. I think young mothers build, because in many instances we did not have those conversations with our parents, I think we tend to really focus on having that open conversation in most cases. I know for me, it was a mission for me that my children not repeat the pattern. So I probably overshared much earlier than I needed to, out of just the abundance of caution.
Absolutely. Yes. Repeating the pattern in so many different ways is trying to, like you said, change the narrative for our our kids' future, and just that generational just betterment, really. It's not that it's bad to be a young parent, but when you don't have the income and the education,
yes,
and things to take care of your family, then that's not a good choice, right?
So, right.
Leaning on, you know, I very much leaned on state assistance and, you know, the food stamps and all of that to get us through so many of those early years. And that's okay. I'm glad that's there, but you don't want to, you want to get yourself out of that. You need to get yourself off of that. That's not a way of life.
Right.
For long term.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And nobody really talked to me about that either.
You know, that just reminds me of a situation when I moved into the projects at 18 after graduation. It's immediately following graduation. I was pregnant with my second child, and my bio parents were never married, but my bio father was always in my life. And as soon as I moved into the apartment complex, he came to visit me, and the first thing he said was, "This is where you start. This is not where you end." So he really set the stage and set an expectation that you don't just live on those services forever. You use them as the leverage that they are to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my next question. Once you became pregnant, how did that intensify, did that intensify your will or your desire to have better?
I think once I became pregnant, I passed out in the shower.
Is that real?
Did
you really?
I woke up on the floor like, oh my gosh.
Oh my.
But, you know, getting over the shock of it, I was a little bit older. I was 21. So I was a little bit older, and I felt like this is not a thing. I'm not going to choose, which people could, it's fine. But my choice was not to choose abortion or adoption or any of that. I thought to myself, I can do this, and I need to do this. I need to own this. Mm-hmm. And so how do I do that? So, thankfully, my parents, my father, like I mentioned, did not really speak to me. He was very just like putting a wall up. The only thing he said to me was, "Well, you're not quitting school. You're continuing school and you're going to get your degree." He very much wanted me to finish school. My mom, thankfully, is the nurturer. So she was there, you know, tried to then step in. It was sort of the afterthought. Then step in and speak to me about like how to take care of myself, how to take care of the baby, you know, kind of be there for me as far as that nurturing side. As far as, you know, then it was like, well, I do need to finish school. It's okay to get on that state assistance. So applying for that, filling out paperwork, it's daunting sometimes. You just take that leap. You just got to do it to get through where you're at.
Right. Thank you so much.
And leaning on other people too. Don't be afraid to speak to others. I didn't lean on other, you know, good adults or family members. I just tried to do it by myself. And that was so bad because it helped me back further. And I didn't have all the answers. And I was really just winging it for the first 5 years of his life, in and out of daycare and me trying to work. And, you know, the whole, you know, battle of that. And no, his dad and I did not stay together. We split up. We were never married. So we decided, you know, this was not, it shouldn't have been a long-term relationship, but it turned into a long-term relationship because we had a child now. And so thankfully he was a good enough person. We split up, we shared custody, and that was a battle in itself to have to go through, figuring out the lawyer situation, you know, But it's scary too. As a young person, you're like, oh gosh, I didn't sign up for all this.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But it was important to, he wanted to be a part of his life, and that's great. He is, and that's great. He's remarried, I'm remarried. And everything, you know, looking back 20 years ago, like everything's turned out just fine. But there could have been other things that helped me figure things out a little bit easier. But I didn't reach out to others. So I think reaching out to others is so important.
You know, Okay. You touch on a theme that is very... I'm very aware of, and I say it this way, when you become a young parent, or whether you are in your early adolescence or late adolescence, somehow you get the message that it's no longer about you and that everything is about the child and the raising of the child. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of that message causes us to not ask questions or seek out other resources or use our resources to the fullest, because it's almost as if you're penalizing yourself.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, it's almost
as if because I did this and I have to figure it out. When you have all of this wisdom that other people can impart and make your journey a little bit easier. But for some reason, we kind of internalize that. And you also said, I've never talked about my story or shared that part of my story. I think to a certain extent, all of that is wrapped into the shame of it and the narrative that we're trying to really change. Mm. So I appreciate you for that. And I think there are tons of women like yourself and me included who have felt that same thing. At what point did you know we're going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, and you know, you're going to have a better life than me no matter what, than I had no matter what?
Well, for me, that was honestly just like maybe 5 years ago. Getting him to graduate high school and then sending him off to college, I was like, okay, I did it. I did it through all those years. I can finally, you know, turning 18, I can throw away those court documents. I can not worry about child support or him going back and forth to his dad or, you know, the arguments that come up through all those years. And it was just a sort of worry and burden that you put on yourself, like he has to do better, you have to do better, and also for him to get through high school and now into his senior year in college, for him also to get through without becoming a young father or making some kind of, you know, hiccup that would hinder him from doing all that. So now that he's 23 and let's cross our fingers, he's going to graduate in May, this May, his graduation. And then I'm like, okay, great. I've finally done it. But really it was him turning 18 and graduating high school that I was like, I can breathe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And the pressure that comes onto the mother in a lot of the situations, we become the default parent. So, but that's an argument in itself. Yeah. So I really appreciate your vulnerability and you sharing your story. And I'm glad we gave you a platform to share your story on.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I know we've had a few hiccups throughout the session, but I want to get into some more information while we have the time. So could you explain what GP Soils is for those who are not aware?
Sure. So GP Soils is my company now, and business ownership is tough, but what we have is a passion and a drive to create beautiful edible gardens for the backyard gardener, the market farmer, Whoever would love to grow their own food, and that's one step in just taking care of your own health and wellness.
Yes.
Not relying so much on just grocery stores and, eating whole, eating organic. So that's kind of my passion. And the soil comes from just being frustrated at some of the highly toxic chemical soil that's on the market. I wanted to create and craft something that was just free of toxic chemicals, going to really nurture the root system of a plant. Whether you are a beginner or you're a seasoned gardener, this soil will make you successful. So we formulated it to where it's water only. You do not have to fertilize. You don't have to mess with the stinky fertilizers. We're trying to remember to do that once or twice a week. We're figuring out, like, why is my plant sad? why is it not producing tomatoes? It's got this great big green leaves, but no tomatoes, that kind of thing. We formulated it with the correct, we got into the science of all of it. We formulated it with the correct nutrients and minerals that plants need to uptake to be healthy and to produce those flowers and those vegetables without a lot of hassle, right? It's kind of a hands-off approach to gardening, which our industry has taken a totally different route. They want you to fertilize. They want you to buy, feed. But in return, it's cost our land, it's cost our pollinators, it's cost our own health with cancer and feeding ourselves toxic chemicals. Growing a tomato and you're feeding it with nasty fertilizer, then you're then ingesting that, and our pollinators, our butterflies and our bees are pollinating on those flowers and taking it back to their hives or whatever. So and making themselves sick. So anyway, I could get on a whole high horse.
I love the science of it, and we really need that other understanding, that other piece to it.
Let me tell you, I said 20 years ago, there's no way you would have ever told me that this is where I'd be at in life. But it's really just through passion and a mission to create a healthier garden that this all came about. So that's
excellent.
What we stand for. GP Grog is my last name. So that's G. And the P stands for premium. I wanted to put the GP premium.
All right.
For people to remember. And my goal is to just grow it into other states and other cities. And so I wanted just something easy and catchy.
I love it.
But now GP Soil is your second business, right?
Yes.
Can we back up to the first business and tell us how we got to GP Soil?
Yes.
Sure. Long story short, we own one of the local garden centers here in town, and we owned that for 10 years. And again, out of just awareness of cancer being in our family and trying to garden organically on our own backyard garden, we opened Grog's Green Barn was the garden center. And our mission was sustainability, bringing community together, educating on how to grow your own edible garden, fruits, whatever. We had backyard chickens and talked about honeybee hives, and we did all the things, the whole full circle of sustainable gardening. And it was a beautiful thing to have. We talked about, moms losing themselves in having children, and I also lost, you can very much lose yourself in business. And so what it came down to after the 10 years, COVID didn't help anything by any means, but what I really started to stand back and look and say, oh my gosh, I'm like working 7 days a week. I don't even know how many hours, I'm not tracking any of that. I'm just there. I'm just present at any moment. I'm doing work at home at night, all the stuff. And I wasn't present. I have two other children now. I wasn't being present for them. I was, hiring babysitters and asking, my husband, you go to the game. I can't go. I've got to go to work. And re retail is hard. So we were open 7 days a week, and I just had to finally, honestly, the universe told me to stop because I fell and hit my head and had a total concussion.
Oh my gosh.
That was really my wake-up call to slow down. I had already been thinking, I want to slow down, but I just couldn't see a way to do that. And after that, having to recover from a concussion is horrible. And wow. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But my speech, my vision, everything was just off. And I had to sort of rehab myself back. But during that time, I was like, we can't go back to what I was doing. I can't run 90 miles an hour and work 7 days a week anymore. It's got to stop. And so, and that was tough because my other half wasn't on board with that. He was part owner of the business. And I just really had to trust that and also just justify what I was thinking. And really, it was me being present for myself, but also for, I wanted to just be a mom, be a mom to my kids and be present for them. And now the GP soil, so that came about in 2018. So when the Rock Screen Barn, when the Garden Center was still going, we had a lot of customers ask, do you have your own brand of soil? Do you have your compost? Can I buy it? Can I buy it? And I was like, no. And like you talked about the science, like I'm not a soil scientist. I don't know what goes into this. So I knew enough. I knew there needed to be earthworm castings and green sand and all this good stuff. But I didn't know at what ratio. It's like baking a cake, literally like baking a cake. There's a recipe.
Right.
You got to stay within a certain NPK and a pH range. Otherwise, your plants are not happy.
Right.
So we did lean on expertise to formulate that. And over the course of about 18 months, we would send off for testing, bring it back, tweak the recipe, send it off for testing again. And but we finally got to the point where we're like, okay, this is it. We love this formula. It works great. We had tested on lots of different types of plants. And so anyway, that's how GP Soils was born. And when we closed the Garden Center in 2021, I could have just let it go. I could have let it go. But part of me was like, no, customers need this. Gardeners need this. This is important. We worked really hard on this. So we took it to the wholesale level, which is a whole different game in business. But it's been great, and I have made traction, and I'm so much more clear and focused on what the goal is. And so anyway, I would love for this brand to just grow, and I want to help community gardens, and school gardens, and all the stuff.
Yes.
I've gotten into grant writing. there's just so many different facets. And also just being open to learning. Like, don't stop learning ever. Like, don't say, oh, I don't know. I can't do it. I didn't go to school for that. I have no idea. Like, just watch a YouTube video or, again, call a mentor or whatever. It's so important to lean on those people.
Right. Use your resources.
This has been rich, rich, rich conversation. You've talked about work-life balance. You've talked about relationship management between husband and wife. And I've experienced that myself in my 27-year marriage. And what was your undergrad degree in? Is this something that you knew you were going to do back at 21?
Mm-hmm. No. So my first major was psychology. I very much wanted to mentor and help grow young people, and especially those who come from hard backgrounds and just need a person to speak to. So I thought I was going to go into psychology, and I should have stuck with that, honestly, because
you think
I love mentoring and doing things like that now. But I ended up, a friend of mine was doing I'm very artistic as well. I love any kind of art. And so a friend of mine was doing an art project in her dorm room. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? That looks fun. way better than reading a psychology book, you know? And she said, well, I'm an interior design major. And I said,
wow.
And checked out interior design. So I literally graduated with an interior design degree.
Wow.
We are laughing because Ayan came to us as a new client a year ago, and her goal was to do interior design.
Really?
And now she's doing podcasting. And that's just a fantastic example of when you come to us and you think you're supposed to do or going to do one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how it just switches.
It transitions into other things.
And go with the flow, yeah. And do what makes you happy, too. Interior design did make me so happy, and I did commercial design. I worked with restaurants and businesses, and it was fun. And then this mission of opening our own business, and it turned into a garden center. I would have never thought that would have been my path. But the garden center, we built from the ground up, and I used my interior design skills to do that and work with the architect. And now I do a lot of landscape design.
Love that.
So it's all about form and function and heights and different textures and depths and year-round interests. So I use my design skills still.
Wow.
It did not go to waste.
Well, I plan on getting you out to my house, but I'm going to just warn you already that I'm pretty embarrassed by my yard. So
don't be embarrassed.
We may have to start in a corner. This may be a long-term project, and we start in the corner. And hopefully, before I die or before we move, I'll have a beautiful yard. We've been in our property for almost 19 years. And I still have not ever received Yard of the Month. And so that's really a goal.
We have to make that happen.
Yes, you have the perfect person.
Yes. I drive through the neighborhood in the summer to see where the sign has moved to. And I get so frustrated. But I also am not the most anxious to play in the dirt either. Yeah. So I can do it. I need someone to help me, and I need stuff that is very, very low maintenance.
Yes.
Because when it gets cold, I'm not coming outside. No. And when it gets hot, I'm not coming outside.
I agree. I'm not either. There's a way to do that for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies. So to close out, we want to get some more about changing the narrative. What does that look like to you? And also, what do you think are some essentials for someone trying to change their own narrative?
Great question.
Well, yeah. So I mentioned never stop learning. So your personal growth is so important. So important. And I do that in many forms. I've had the opportunity to work with some great mentors. I've been a part of networking groups.
Mm.
And don't feel like you're stuck in one either. You know, kind of dab in, dab out as the years pass. If it's working great, if it's not, then move on.
Right.
Because you grow in different ways. I listen to books on Audible all the time. Listening to one right now called We Should All Be Millionaires.
And wow.
Amazing. Just great, great information. And take from it Rachel Rogers.
Rachel Rogers?
Can you see that?
Okay.
Yeah, Rachel Rogers, We Should All Be Millionaires. Great information. Mm. She literally came from nothing and has made it into so much. So, again, don't be afraid to watch a tutorial and dab in it. Journaling. Man, my workbook is also my journal book. I write down everything. And it's not that I'm like a crazy list maker. I just have to reflect in the morning on what my tasks are, and I have to reflect in the evening. Again, what did I get accomplished? What do I need to do tomorrow? What came about today that's an opportunity? What am I proud of, you know, that I got done today? Yesterday, I felt like I was running around town, but it was all things that were necessary. And at the end of the day, I was like, don't be hard on yourself. You got so much accomplished today, you know? Today, I've got to go train after we get done talking 4 of my vendors for the soil. You know, you just got to craft your day in a way that is functional for yourself.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask. If you don't ask, you can't receive. So always getting into the wholesale game with our business. I should not say I hate sales, but I hate sales. I am not the best at it. And I don't like asking people to take on my product, but I do it. I try to do it in a very just my way. I do it my way. I do it authentically. And what's real for me and our company. And that seems to be really received well. You know, I don't go in there as a typical salesperson. And I don't try to make myself that either. That would make me sad. You know, it would not make me encouraged to keep going. Let's see. I've been mentoring others. Giving back is huge. You feel good when you give. And
right.
So I love to be able to give back. And in fact, my daughter was like, Mom, why are you doing that? Mom. You spent so many hours doing this, you know, why are you calling that person again? You know,
and business.
It makes your heart feel good. Cause if you're never giving back to others, you're not growing yourself and making yourself feel good. So
I agree. So one of my last questions is, what is something you would tell your younger self knowing what you know now? You might have to think about that, but that's something that's important for all of us to know.
Yes. Even if you're 25, you know, what would you tell your 16-year-old self, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm 45, so what would I tell my younger self?
Mm-hmm.
That it will all turn up, that I'm smart enough to get through it all, that it will all be fine, and that I have what it takes to make it happen.
Excellent.
Because nobody ever said that to me, that I was smart enough and that you have the tools inside of you, you know, just got to tap into it, you know, all that. Nobody really ever encouraged me in that way. And everybody can do it. You just got to have to put forth a little bit of effort.
Right. That's the biggest piece. Knowing you're capable.
Yes.
And I've recently discovered that in myself, too. So that's so true. Mm-hmm. Knowing you're capable. Do you have any other questions for Ms. Carla?
I don't have any questions, but I do want to say thank you for fighting through the co-parenting landscape, for believing in yourself and sharing your story, for caring about the world and what we eat, for raising good kids, and finally for being open to come and help us to move the needle of our mission. Thank you so much for helping us to lead expecting and parenting young families to self-sufficiency. Yes. We just really appreciate you and your openness. And Carla's going to come and teach us about organic soil in February. So we want our listeners to be watching for that session, and to everyone is welcome to attend. Our links to the presentation will be out on our social media and in our newsletter. And we are just so appreciative once again that you have been willing to mentor us. And I include myself in that, because I have no idea how to raise healthy food for my family. And our families have been riddled with cancers and diabetes and all of these things that if we can teach young families how to eat better, they can avoid in their lives moving forward. So, So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And you're always welcome at the back to the James Inc. podcast.
We gotta have you come back.
It was so eye-opening for me as well. I mean,
lovely.
Even receive, like, it's a yin and a yang, I felt like, today. This was great for me as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Carla. I really appreciate your willingness and all your knowledge that you've brought to us. I'm excited for our class with you. Can't wait to see you next time.
Yeah. All right, you girls. Have a great day.